Welcome back to Touching Bases Podcast. Today is a little bit different. New segment, and we're specifically talking about the Mariners. It's Mariners Monday. I'll give a shout out to Jake from Raise the Trident. Kind of gave me the idea. We might change it up a little bit later. But today, joining me, you have Colton from Mariner Mojo, and you have Colby from Locked On Mariners. And then Colton, you have what's that guy's name that co-hosts with on your show?
Jeffrey.
What's his name?
Jeffrey.
Okay. Yeah. And Jeffrey, he couldn't make it today. I think he's making coffee or something. So thank you guys for joining me. This is the very first ever Mariner Monday. So we're going to get into it, dig in a little bit to the things that we hate and we're pissed off about and that we love. More that we hate, I think, at this point. So thanks again for coming on. And we're going to talk shit. This is not your normal Mariner podcast at this point. We're just going to be stupid because this offseason's stupid, right?
Yeah, it's about right. I don't think there's any other way to describe it, yeah.
Okay, I felt better about that because I was expecting a long, awkward pause, and I wasn't exactly sure. But as you guys can hear, I'm still not over my nasty sickness of whatever it is, but hopefully I'll get better. We'll see if I get better. Let me see if I can get this pulled up for you. I just want to talk about the number one thing going around for the Mariners at this point, and that would be the latest. I am trying to get this up. There we go. Aaron Levine dropped this tweet, put out a bunch of information that everything's been going around. Multiple people have made videos on this already. Locked On already talked about it. Mariner Mojo's already talked about it. So we're going to talk about it last because we're slow. Jerry DePoto is gaslighting the shit out of us at this point. This is how I feel. I know the offseason has been long and seemingly slow. No shit. But we feel like we've made a lot of progress last year. The additions of Arozarena, Polanco, Solano stand to be positive for us. Okay. So he says, I know that it's been slow this offseason, which we're hoping for something, right, at this point. And he says, all right, let's take two things we did last year and rope them into this year and then include the one guy we picked up and say, we're pretty good. We're going to go. At this point, how many lies are we going to put up with? You guys tell me.
I think the hard part for me reading this is there's no way this was plan A. If you would have told like Jerry and Justin that you were going to end up with Jorge Polanco again and Donovan Solano and that was going to be it, they probably would not have been happy at the start of the offseason. They probably would have been like, we're going to go out there and, you know, try to get Nico Horner or whatever. So I think that it's just hard to read this and see that they're trying to feed us, hey, these are the additions we made, this is why this team's gonna be better. Where I think there is some merit to say that, yeah, maybe a full season of Randy's, you know, gonna be a big net positive for the Mariners. Polanco, I mean, he probably can't be much worse than he was for most of last year. And Solano has hit everywhere he's gone. So, like, I don't disagree in the fact that those three guys specifically have a decent chance to have a big impact. I just think that the way it's worded is a little rough from Jerry here.
Yeah.
Colby, you've said plenty on your channel about this. So yeah, I can imagine it's more eye rolling.
Yeah. I mean, like mostly right now, it's just like, of course he said that. I'm not that surprised. That's just what he does, right? He spends, and you know, to a certain extent, that's all he can do, right? He's not going to come out and bash the ownership group. It's not going to happen. He's not going to bash his guys, you know, our prospects just weren't good enough or whatever. They just weren't valuable enough. He's not going to do that. So he does have to kind of try and put some kind of spin on this. But I think, you know, the thing that is most upsetting is that it's just like no acknowledgement that they just, you know, they screwed up. And it's like, look, you know, this didn't go the way we thought it was going to. And we know that. Like, we know that Nico Horner was a top priority for them. And to their credit, it sounds like they got pretty close. And then all of a sudden, Kyle Tucker became available, and that was that. So the Cubs decided to go the Kyle Tucker route. Who could blame them? But, you know, it sounds like their plan B was, let's go get Carlos Santana, and they couldn't even do that. And so, you know, it's just constant reiteration that, like, no, we did everything we wanted to do. We, you know, I know it's not what the fans want. It's not flashy or anything. Like, putting the onus on the fans that, like, your guys' expectations were too high. And that's not true. Like, it's simply not true. So, you know, understanding that there's really not a lot Jerry could say that would play well right now, because even if he says, like, yeah, we screwed up again, like, we didn't read the market well, blah, blah, blah. Cool. That's all anybody's going to talk about tomorrow either way, you know? So he's in a rough spot there. But again, there's phrasing that Jerry should be better at this point, where he consistently just kind of makes it sound like this is kind of your guys' fault that we misread the market. Like, we didn't actually misread it. You guys did. And it's like, that's not what you told us. But this is one of the problems when you leak as much as the Mariners did. We heard about Horner, we heard about Casas, we heard about Santana, like, we heard about all those guys, and you don't get any of them. Yeah, you got to wear it, you know, and you got to own up to it a little bit and be like, look, we had to pivot a couple times, and this is what we came up with. But again, it's one of those cases where, like, at this stage, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. Like, nobody's going to be happy with what you say. And at the very least, you know, we get to make fun of him and kind of meme it up for a couple days. And that's, you know, my kind of how I'm going to lean into this, is just kind of like, you know, oh, smug, arrogant Jerry just kind of talking down to us, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not like, what's the point of getting, like, super mad and heated about this? He said exactly what I knew he was going to say.
Which is sad. I mean,
it is, but, you know,
like, and on top of that, not even those guys, but the fact that he flat out said our priority is Sasaki. Okay. Well, mm-hmm. You didn't even get a meeting. So where was the pivot, and when did you decide to pivot? How about a little bit of information there? How about, instead of saying, you know, it's seemingly slow. No, it is slow. And saying, oh, look what we had before. We're going to be fine next season. Everything's going to be great. How about, like, what exactly you just said? How about, hey, we went after Nico Horner. Kyle Tucker came up. They backed out of the deal. If this is how it went, we don't know. But it's just like, we tried these avenues and they fell apart because they found better opportunities somewhere else, for, or whatever it was. We're just saying, like, these were our goals and it is what it is. We tried. And I would respect that a lot more than stand to be positive for us. These three guys, like, it's gaslighting. It's bullshit. It's just like what a few people brought up. I know one of you guys did, I think on your channel, was, you know, the 2021 ordeal with him saying, like, we're setting up to get big generational bats and stuff in the future. And it's like, okay, we're 2025 now. Where are they? Was generational bat Randy Arozarena? Because that was the year he won Rookie of the Year and was a World or ALCS MVP. So was that your idea? Like, things change when you wait for a long time, where players don't turn out to be what you thought they were, what they were at that time. I mean, I don't want to talk shit about Julio, because I still think there's a lot left in that tank, but we have not seen 2022. And I understand it's only been 3 years, but we have not seen that. So it's like, and it's fine. I feel like he's going to bounce back. That's just my personal opinion on this whole thing. But, like, why are we gaslighting? And I mean, Colby, your best friend in the world, like your BFF, Ty, he made this post, and I think he probably is stating or regurgitating what you're saying. Quote, look, man, we all know they try to accomplish bigger and better things. Horner, for example, this offseason, than what they wound up doing. I get Jerry isn't going to say anything bad or concerning about the state of the roster, but acting like they didn't even really have holes to fill to begin with is just flat out disingenuous, which is where I'm getting at as well. I don't know, because you guys obviously have been doing this longer than I have, but did you get the same vibe of that it's bullshit now? Bullshit. You know, you're going to catch somebody the last couple of years during the off season as you do now.
I think that I've always kind of, over the past few years, man, I have really been like a Jerry defender. You know what I mean? Like, hey, this guy, you know, he's doing the best with what he has, but this off season specifically, and after all the dumbass remarks he's made over the past few years, it's hard to do. Excuse me. It's very hard to, you know, come to the defense of a guy who says, like, you, like what Ty's saying here, it just feels disingenuous. And I completely agree with it. Saying that two of the guys that you added, or that Jerry mentioned there, Polanco and Rose Reina, they were there last year. And then to say there were no hole, act like there were no holes to fill, and the only thing you did was add Donovan Solano. Yeah, it's just, it sucks. I don't really like, again, we know they tried. And I think that me personally, I would just love it if they could just be honest. And they don't have to, again, they don't have to bash, you know, anyone in this to say, hey, this is what we tried to do. Didn't work out. Sorry. Like, you know, we you know, we thought we had it going with Carlos Santana. Didn't work out. Sorry. Like, I don't know. That's, I don't know why it's so hard to just say those things instead of trying to always defend and like die on the hill of the fact that the moves you made are going to be major impact moves when, like you mentioned, Chad, a few years ago, they were saying we were going to go for generational bats. Those probably being like the shortstop class of 2022-2023's offseason. Or obviously Juan Soto's a big one. Otani obviously being another one. Those are generational bats. Like, yeah, those guys. Not getting, I love Randy. I do. I think he's great. I think he'll be great for the Mariners, but he's not generational. Mm-hmm. He's a good baseball player, but he's not generational. So yeah, they haven't done that. They have not added generational bats one bit.
Yeah. I think the tiring part right now is that, you know, we gave you credit for trying a few years now. And now it's just like, how many times are you going to try and come up short? Like, trying just isn't good enough anymore. It's a results oriented league. You've missed the playoffs the last 2 years. And in both of those seasons, you had the big 10 game lead this year. And then in 2023, you were in first place on like August 28th, and you fumbled the bag. Like, so it's just one of those things where you look at this and you go, okay, how many times are you going to say, oh, you know, we missed. Oh, you know, we wanted to do this and this, but we couldn't get it to work out. Like, it's all well and good that like you went out there and you made a real effort to go get, you know, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Like, awesome. Cool. But you didn't. And instead you got, you know, Donovan Solano. And it's just like, who cares? I mean, Solano's fine. Don't get me wrong, but it's just one of those things where it's like, you can't sit here and tell me that, you know, this is what we're doing. And then when you don't do it, you act like that was never your plan along. It's like, no, we know what your plan is. Like, you told us. And, you know, same thing with ownership. Like, once we feel like we're ready to win, this payroll is going to skyrocket. Not even close. It's not even keeping up with inflation right now. And Jerry and Justin are so distrusting of ownership that they might not even spend the $4 or $5 million they have left in their budget, you know, until July, because they don't, if they go spend that on Iglesias and then they get to midseason and they want to go acquire this guy, well, you guys better make the money work, because I'm not getting more money. So it's just one of those things where it's like we will make the excuses for Jerry, but Jerry has to, you know, own up to the mistakes he does make. Like, it's not Jerry's job to be like, I tried this. It didn't work. Oh, isn't that terrible? Like, no, we'll do that for you, but not if you then come out and be like, nope, it went exactly how I wanted. Like, no, you have to be honest. Anybody out there can tell you that you were set up to fail. Like, nobody has any issue believing that, but you did fail. And you spent the entire offseason saying, we're not going to fail. And really for the first off season, and this is why it's a little bit different than the other ones, they didn't try. Like, they didn't try to get like creative at all. Like, last year sucked. They had to trade Gino. They had to trade Kelnick and all that stuff. They got Rayleigh. They got Garver. They got Polanco. You know, they made big moves still, even though they had to, you know, trade some players to make it happen. They still did it. And this year it was just like, oh, you want that? I guess we'll just move on. And it was just so reactionary instead of being aggressive. And I think, you know, Jerry is at his best when he's aggressive. And the fact that you couldn't land the, you know, we could say, oh, the Horner deal, you know, oh, if only the Astros didn't put Tucker on the block. It's like, okay, well, what if you just gotten the Horner deal done 2 days before that? Like, you were inside the 20, like, push it through, get it done, pay the little bit extra to get done, bird in the hand and whatnot. And they just didn't, and they just didn't feel like they had a backup plan. And it really felt like they had no plan. They had one plan this winter, and the second that fell through, they didn't know what to do. And now they're trying to tell us that, nope, this is exactly what we wanted to do. Nah.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, if this is the plan, you're failing on purpose. Like, anybody could look at this and say this is not working. I mean, that's what the crazy thing is, and I hate bringing this up, the 54% thing. Like, we all went to elementary school, right? I think.
Colton, I don't know. I might have flunked out. I don't remember. Oh,
okay, maybe a Jeffrey I was thinking of. Yeah. So an F is anything 59% and less. So why are we aiming for an F for our team? Like, I understand it's a record goal, but why aren't we? I mean, I don't know. This kind of leads me into what I wanted to bring up next, which is the baseball prospectus put out their standing estimation for the 2025 season. And honestly, I'm pretty surprised, because they brought out the AL East, they brought out the AL Central. Next, I'm going to show you the AL West, but I don't have any objections here, but besides AL East, Boston being last place, I understand their defense was bad last season, but I have a hard time believing that. Of course, at the same time, we don't know where Bregman's going to go. I think they need him. But Toronto, number three? I mean, do we see Toronto as being a threat? Because they were laughing stock up until Santander signed. Now they have Scherzer. Does that really make them that much better? Like, they signed one bat. They still don't know what's going to happen to Vladdy after this coming season. I know that's kind of irrelevant because this is 2025, but Bichette was terrible. They really are going to be a 52% team. I don't know. It's very interesting. So I'm putting that in perspective there, because I don't think Boston's number five. And Tampa being number four, I'd say they're probably right there, three or four. The Central, I'm surprised that it gave Chicago 100 losses, not more than that. But Detroit being number four is wild, especially with Jack Flaherty. But I don't know if that came out. Did Jack Flaherty sign after they brought this out? Because this came out today, but I don't know exactly when they decided that. But they got a stacked infield, Detroit. So I'm putting this into perspective. Also, another thing, Minnesota number one. What? They're trying to sell everything right now. I don't get that. So take it with a grain of salt, because obviously you have the AL West, and I'm not going to look at the NL because it's just a waste of time. But the AL West is like this biggest toss-up I've ever seen. I mean, more than last year, it's a bigger toss-up, because after we saw Texas last season just kind of fall in their face after winning a World Series, Houston, I guess, figured it out come July, and then they were able to take first place from us. But now they're down two major bats. We'll see what happens with Bregman again. But as of right now, they don't have Bregman. They don't have Tucker. I don't think Isak Paredes is going to be the generational hitter that they're expecting, even though he's a pole hitter. That doesn't exactly mean he's going to hit more bombs automatically. As you guys know, Seattle has spent the least on anybody and made the least amount of moves in the entire division. The Sacks on the bottom, that's kind of funny. But they've also made, I wouldn't say big additions, but they've spent money for additions. Los Angeles got Yusei, Sacramento, which is weird saying. They got Cervinho. I don't know how I feel about the Mariners being an 85 win team. Like, are we really that confident that they would be 85 wins? I think they are number three at this point. Texas being number one from this is, I don't know. I don't know about them being number one. I guess they're supposed to wake up and figure it out like Houston did at the end of the season. But like, are we really 85 wins right now?
I think that at least when I look at the Texas part of things, I mean, you'll have a healthy DeGrom this year. Like, maybe it is Jacob DeGrom, so who the hell knows? But I think that was the thing with Houston last year too, is their pitching staff got healthy, and you saw what guys like Framber and Ronel Blanco, guys like that, did. So I don't know. I think that 85 wins, the Mariners pitching staff can take them far. It really can. We saw how good they were at home last year, how good the pitchers are at home. So yeah, I mean, you play 81 games at home, I don't see why you can't, you know, scrape out 50 wins at home or something like that, and then maybe make up the other 35. I'm terrible at math, but we'll call it 35.
Is that an elementary?
Exactly. I can see it happening. I do agree that they're probably third place. I like just kind of where my head's at right now. I wouldn't be shocked to see Houston win the division again just because it is Houston, especially if they do re-sign Bregman. I think that Seattle is just a team that offensively, you know, like, yeah, if Julio figures it out at the beginning of the year instead of in the middle of the year, great, cool. If Cal continues to do what he does, if JP bounces back, but there's just so many what-ifs with what the Mariners have going on throughout their 1-9. And I think that the pitching staff, I mean, one injury to the staff and all of a sudden you're stuck with Emerson Hancock, Colby.
And, he's such a good guy.
And then, you know, what are you guys supposed to do the rest of the season? So I don't know. It's scary. Obviously we heard today that Troy Taylor suffered a lat strain. So that doesn't bode well.
I missed that. I didn't hear anything about that.
So he's going to be a little slow to start. They said, what did they say? Like the first week of April, maybe for Brash, and then Santos last week of April. Okay. And then Santos should be good to go at the start of the year. So the bullpen, I think, could use some work as well for the Mariners. So they've added a million different guys to the pile. I mean, who knows? Maybe one of them turns into something. I think one guy Joe and I mentioned last night was Ryan Brazier. That just seems so obvious. It just seems like that Rogers guy should be a Mariner. Yep. They DFA'd him yesterday, 2 days ago.
We want to get a Reds pitcher that has like an 8 ERA instead.
Yeah, you know, why not, right? But yeah. Overall, I think, I don't necessarily disagree with it. I could definitely see the Mariners honestly hovering right around 500. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I think it's about right. one thing to keep in mind here is that if it is close in July, and I suspect it will be, Seattle is in much better position to go add significant pieces to their roster than Houston, certainly. Texas, we'll see how aggressive they want to get. But Texas has issues too. That pitching staff is not good. That bullpen is not good. Now they've made improvements there, but that doesn't mean they're good. And Houston, I don't care what you say, they're worse than they were last year. So, you know, they lost Bregman and Tucker. Like, they get Bregman back, I guess we can have a conversation. They also lost Presley, and that bullpen wasn't that deep last year either. So every team in the American League West has their own issue. The one thing that I think, you know, gives Seattle a real shot is that the starting pitching is going to be very good. And obviously, you know, if somebody gets hurt, you know, that happens. And there's health is kind of tough to predict. And we can sit here and say like, oh, we saw it coming, but the Mariners rotation has been really pretty healthy, all things considered, the last couple of years. I don't think it's fair to be like, they were lucky last year, so they're not going to be lucky this year. Based on what? You know, like they're pretty consistently healthy in their rotation. The offense, you know, we'll see. I know that Jerry today kind of threw Scott under the bus a little bit and DeHart and kind of inferred that like they were the problem last year and they just moved on from those guys too late because they were so good with Dan Wilson and Edgar running the show. So we'll see how that translates. But again, if you want Cope, last year after that swap, when you had a healthy Julio, you had Randy, you had Rayleigh, you had Cal, you had Turner, who is basically replaced by Solano, same player, more or less. You were, you know, top 10 in runs scored and top 4 in WRC+, and that's despite playing, you know, half of your games in the, you know, most disadvantageous ballpark in baseball. So I think, you know, there are a lot of ways to spin this. I do think they're a playoff contender, certainly. I do think they can win the division, but they most certainly need help still. And if they wait until July to try and get it, I'm not sure if there's going to be enough time. But they've also kind of put themselves in a position where they have to try in July no matter what. They could be like 8 games out, and they probably still have to go make some buying moves in July because they basically said, yeah, that's the plan, right? We'll prices will be cheaper in July. No. I think 85 sounds about right. The thing with win projections is for me, there's always like an 8 win, like kind of, you know, you account for injuries and step back years and breakout years and acquisition. So I think there's like an 8 win buffer where you go either way. So if you're telling me on that number, the Mariners are between a 77 and 93 win team, and the difference is going to be injury and, you know, improvement from the offense as it is currently built and adding players and maybe some minor league call-ups and all that, and that's going to sway it one way or the other. I think that sounds about right. I think that puts them in pretty good position to still win the division. But that's what makes this all the more frustrating, is that they're this close to being a great team, to being the runaway favorite in the American League West, this close, and they won't
be a 90-win team, which would bump us to number one in this projection, at least. Mm-hmm. But are we worried about Mike Trout coming back? Like, no. The 76 wins for LA? That sounds like a last year. No?
It's a bad roster.
You guys don't care?
I don't know.
I mean, Soler, is Drury still free agent?
Yeah, he's still a free agent. Okay. Drury was the worst player in baseball last year. Yeah, I had Ty look it up, and he was shocked.
But I was going to say, maybe he had a bounce back, but I don't think they're going to bring him back.
I don't think they're going to bring him. The Mariners should. You know, minor league deal.
Just saying. Minor league deal, I would not be against it. I really want it, especially at this point. It would be cheap. Like, why does it matter? But, I mean, and then, of course, they have Anthony Rendon. But I think he – I saw a post that he actually injured himself opening presents on Christmas, so he's probably going to be out for the next 2 years. So, that's just a waste
of money. Feel bad for that guy. He's just trying so hard to get through all these injuries.
I know. Paper cuts. I think he had a headache from his wife saying you're not home enough. That almost hospitalized him. So that was pretty intense. But, you know, he could be Emerson Hancock. So I guess we're lucky, right?
Sure. You know, I want to mention, like, Colby brought up a great point about in July, you know, with the Mariners having the capital to really go out there and make a move. Now, who knows what the money's going to look like in July, right? But depending on how much money is available to the team to spend at that point, I think that with the draft coming up specifically, obviously the Mariners have the number 3 pick, and then I think they're, what, 35, 36, I think, is their second pick.
35.
That leaves them in a really great spot to be able to trade away. And honestly, they've been possibly trading prospects all offseason, but nobody's taking prospects in trades right now. We already knew that. But as teams hopefully in July turn, like, realize, hey, maybe we're not in this. Maybe, like, we don't have a chance this year. They might be like, let's take the Blue Jays, for example. If they're out of it in July, they're trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They're stupid. Like because it doesn't, if he doesn't sign an extension with them, he's not re-signing with them more than likely. And so, I don't know. Like, at that point, you have to trade Vlad. And Bo Bichette, I believe, is a free agent after this year as well. Like, I think both those guys are gone at that point. And, like, so what guys become available? What guys can you afford in terms of the money that you have? But the Mariners have the prospect capital to go out there and get literally anybody they want if they really put their mind to it.
Who are you going to trade for Vladdy for half a season? Because you know you're not going to extend him. There's no money for him. Like, how much do we have to give up for half a season?
That's a losing game, man. I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think, like, that would even be an option. Even if we had all the money in the world, well, I'm just saying all the money in the world. I'd say even if we had, it doesn't matter how many prospects we have, how much talent we have on the team, because you want to hang on to as much as you can if you're going to make a run at the playoffs. So how many prospects do you need to give up? And how many they're going to want more the more you have. And you only get them for 2 months. So it's like, that's the biggest issue. It's like you're on the losing end when you do these trade deadline acquisitions for guys that are going to be free agents at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But that also makes me wonder, is Jerry gaslighting us not to basically tell us, you know, oh, it's going to be fine. Like, we're okay. Like, we have all these great things. Maybe he actually does have something going on, but he doesn't want any other teams thinking they're in on him. I mean, it's a ruse this whole entire offseason. Every single team, every single player, almost every single free agent I've watched, I'm like, oh, okay. Gleyber Torres to Detroit? Like, oh, okay. I didn't see that coming. And, I mean, Jack Flaherty, I kind of assumed. But even, I mean, Soto to the Mets, sure, the most money there. But some of these offseason, like Goldschmidt to the Yankees, I didn't expect that. There's just been a lot of, like, people keep pushing guys to certain teams, and I didn't see it coming. I was assuming other teams because they had a hole and they needed to fill it. Like Santander, I thought he was going to Kansas City because they need an outfielder real bad, and he would have been great, especially since the Orioles picked up Tyler O'Neill. Didn't expect that. So maybe he has his eyes on somebody right now, but he's just like, I don't need anybody seeing what we're doing. We're not showing our hand. That's being an optimist, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
Is that something that's possible at this point? Sorry. 'Cause it's just like, what do we do?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are still some dominoes left to fall, right? Like, yeah, if Bregman goes to Detroit or Chicago or Boston, like, is there, you know, can you go back and have those conversations again for Horner or Casas or whoever, right? So there's still some big dominoes left to fall. I don't think the Mariners ever really stop talking trade. I don't think that they all of a sudden don't want like Nico Horner. It's just a matter of how do we make it fit in our payroll, and how do we get a team that's willing to take prospects from us? Because I've heard some of the few teams that are willing to take prospects, I've heard the asking price on some of their players that makes sense for Seattle. And oh boy, like, nope, Seattle shouldn't do them. So it's just one of those things where it's like, could they pull something off? Sure. But I think the team to watch here is St. Louis. Like, they're delusional. They haven't done anything all off season. And if they get into, you know, April or May, early May, and they're like 18 games behind 500 really early, like, I think you could see them all of a sudden shift, and maybe they trade a Ryan Helsley pretty early, or maybe they trade a Donovan, who they failed to extend so far. So I think the Cardinals are a team to watch here as a team that could kind of, like, you know, get into spring training and be like, what are we doing? Like, we have to do something different here. So watch them. But yeah, it's been a tough market for sure. And I think, you know, Jerry not wanting to tip his hands, sure, it's a possibility. I think we know what is really happening here, that they just failed. But sure, I mean, you always leave open the possibility that there's something bigger that they're working on that we just don't know about.
Yeah.
One thing I think that's interesting is over the past, you know, however many years, the Mariners have usually been pretty good at not leaking things about, like, trades or moves that are going to be made. But this offseason, I'm assuming it's on the other side of it, you know, whether that have been, you know, the Cubs talking about trading Horner or whatever, and that's the side that leaked it. But it just seems weird that we heard a lot of the moves that were potentially to be made this offseason. Obviously, none of them happened, so that kind of puts us in some sort of mood. But I do find it interesting. Normally, they're very good at holding that sort of thing to their chest.
Yeah, the other teams, Boston Globe was talking about Casas and Yoshida, which... I mean, I was kind of in favor of that. I mean, I understand. I mean, Colby, you made a good point when we were talking offline, like, about, you know, we have the outfield, like, Rayleigh can play first. You get Victor Robles in the outfield. Like, we could go towards the outfield market because we could fill in those slots, and then people can be moved around. You could utilize them. But, like, I'm also fine that if we were to get rid of Castillo, lose his contract, and we were to take on Yoshida's contract, it's not as bad. I should say as bad. It's just as complicated as Yoshida's. It's less money, but you get another bat. You get Casas for very cheap to cover your first base. And if you just don't want someone else, like, I love Rayleigh. But that would open the door for more moves because people become available after you make a deal like that. And that also means trading one of them to get pitchers if you don't want to spend money, because that's not a smart strategy. Apparently, I'm using somebody else's words there. But to me, movement creates movement. And we haven't made any movement to create positive movement. You know, sometimes there's those small little things you got to do, like you say, for that domino effect. And I mean, that's another thing that I was going to bring up, like the Nico Horner thing. The reason why that name comes out at me is because they just picked up Nicky Lopez. How many infielders do they need? They're starting to look like the Orioles or the Tigers. Like, they can't play these guys. So maybe there's something still brewing. But maybe I'm delusional. Like, my eyes are telling you right now, because I just, come on, somebody. Colby, you're way too calm. I don't like it. I don't like how you just,
I mean, like
I know
I think, what's happening. You know, Ty, well, I think Ty said it really well. Well, first of all, I'm sick, so I can't go full, you know, full rant here. But I actually think Ty said it well. Is like, just because you can do something doesn't mean you have to do everything, right? And I was pretty consistent with this, even when we talked to Gordo from Boston, you know, a couple months ago. Like, I really think the Mariners were looking at Castillo and being like, look, we cannot trade this guy and not get a pitcher back, because the pitching market was blowing up. It was going insane. Like, Severino's getting $24 million. So even if you clear $24 million, you're getting a worse pitcher for the same amount of money. You know, you didn't exactly clear anything up. So I think at the end of the day, what it was with Boston is, if Boston was willing to go Casas and Cutter Crawford to give the Mariners a starting pitcher, a number five that they could put in the back of their rotation and still clear a lot of that money, I think they would have. And I think they might have even taken on Yoshida's contract if the Red Sox were willing to put Crawford in that deal. And just, I think you look at a guy like Yoshida, he's a DH only. You kind of already have a couple of those guys on your roster. He's never going to play. He's never going to play in the outfield for you. He's like your sixth best guy. He's better than Mitch Haniger, but now you have Haniger and Yoshida kind of on the each other. They can't really do anything. They haven't been able to move Haniger yet, right? So kind of seems like they can't. And I just think it muddies up your bench too much. And, you know, I think that they just didn't love Tristan Casas. Like, the Red Sox want the Mariners to love Tristan Casas. They just don't. He's not a good athlete. He's, you know, ballooned up in weight. He had a 30% strikeout rate last year, missed 100 games. Like, he had abdominal issues, and he's got this really powerful, torquey swing. So, like, he could pull a lot of stuff going on there. So I just don't think that they loved him. And if they were going to trade Castillo for somebody they didn't love, they were going to get a pitcher back who can replace Castillo, and they couldn't find it. And I think that's ultimately where things fell apart there. So I'm pretty sure. Like, I don't have any actual information, but just reading between the lines and all that, like, I'm pretty sure the line in the sand that Jerry drew was like, we need Cutter Crawford in this deal, or we can't, it doesn't make sense for us to trade Luis Castillo.
I mean, with Yoshida healthy, you really think that he's another Haniger? Because, I mean, even really.
Well, not obviously he's a better hitter than Haniger.
Way better. But,
yeah, but he's also a guy who's making more money. You own $50 million instead of Haniger's $17 million, and then you tell him to go away. And he's not better than a Rosarena. He's not better than Julio. He's not better than Robles when you look at Robles' entire package, what he brings to the table. And honestly, he's kind of like Rayleigh minus all the power. And Rayleigh can at least run and play some defense and hit home runs. Play a couple different spots. Like, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense. And by the way, Casas probably rotates into your DH spot a little bit here, more so than first base, particularly if the Mariners are worried about injuries. So you just kind of end up with like three or four guys competing for one DH spot. And now you're spending $34 million on two full-time DHs. None of them, one of them is terrible. And the other one is a platoon DH only type. Like,
Do you think either one of those guys were flippable though? You don't think you flip either one of those guys? No,
I don't. They haven't. They're still on their original team. We haven't seen the team take on a bad contract.
I think Boston screwed the market for prospect trading with the Garrett Crochet move. They gave up a lot for him. And that, I think at this point, is making any prospect move from the Mariners organization to get anybody else just skyrocket, just inflamed for no reason. I don't even think Crochet is that great, personally. I think he did a great stunt for 2/3 of his season. Honestly, there was a couple of months where he wasn't that awesome, and he has no track record before that saying that he's great. So it's mind-blowing to me. I know when MLB The Show comes out, he's going to be like a 92 or some BS. I don't know if you guys play games or whatever, but I do, and he ain't 92. All right. So that's just how I feel about it. And no, he's not worth Colt Emerson and Cole Young and Ty Pete and then Troy Taylor. Okay. Boston. All right. It's just, I don't know. I'm all riled up and I'm sick. So it's only going to make it worse, but I don't know. It's just, I still feel like it, I don't think that they need to make every move, obviously, but there needs to be a change because it didn't work out last season. If the change is simply not having Turner on the team and not having Rojas on the team, that doesn't make you better, you know? Like that doesn't really improve anything. All right. Well, we're not getting Yoshida. We're not getting Tristan Casas. We're probably not getting Nico. We're probably not getting anybody, but Nico Horner sounds like the player we should go after, even though he's not going to start till like what, April?
Yeah.
Something like that. All right. Well, with that said, yay or nay is the name of the game. 50% or greater chance that these players will perform at or better than their previous years. Now, you don't get to know who they are. You don't really need to guess who they are. I just want you to look at their stats, look at their achievements, and just tell me who, like, do you think that they're going to perform in 2025? Do you think that they have a chance of bouncing back, or do you think that they are probably on a downhill slope? It's not a lot of context, so don't overthink it. This is a trial run, okay? Player number one, he was a second-round pick. He won Rookie of the Year. He has been an All-Star. In 2024, he had a 2.6 WAR. Batting average is a 240. By the way, not all these guys are Mariners.
Just that's what I was going to ask you. Okay.
Not all these guys are Mariners. A bat at 240 at 34 home runs, 91 runs, 88 RBIs, 3 stolen bases. Career, yeah. 249. What do you think they're going to do in 2025?
It's like a bit of an older player, accumulated 20 WAR. So age is kind of a thing. I'm trying to think second round picks. Yeah, with just these numbers, not knowing the age or anything like that, I'd say it's likely that he probably doesn't put up this good of a season.
I'd be shocked if this guy breaks 30 home runs next year.
Do you know who it is?
Shocked. Really? I do not. Okay. But my first thought, and I almost guarantee I'm wrong here. Like, but my first thought was Kyle Schwarber but I'm pretty sure he hit more than 34 home runs.
That's a good one. I wonder if his WAR is that high because he's so bad.
True, defensively. Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. But does he even play out in the field that much anymore? I don't know.
I don't think so. They have Castellanos in right. And Harper at first.
Yeah, Schwarber's so. DH. So Schwarber's their like main DH.
Yeah, I'd say this guy probably performs a little bit worse. He might still hit, you know, like 235, 240, but I think he probably has like a 1.5 WAR with like, you know, 26 homers.
Yeah. I do think this is Kyle Schwarber. But yeah, I think probably a little less. 34 is a lot for anybody. Particularly in, you know, 2024, 2025. So, yeah, I think probably a little bit worse, but, you know, based on the information I have right now, probably in that range. But I would say, no, he's not going to repeat these numbers.
Okay.
So, nay.
Nay. Double nay. Gotcha. All right. Player number two. He was injured last season. No. You'll find out at the end. I'm writing it down. Don't worry.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
We'll circle back. I'm taking notes. I'm not going to ruin this. I'm going to make it fun. Like, come on, give me some slack here. It's the first time doing it, but I think it should be fun because it's a science experiment. I'm going to put it that way. Mm. Yeah. There's going to be a volcano with baking soda and vinegar at the end.
Nice.
Not really. That was a stupid thing.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. I know what you meant by that. Okay. Anyways, player number two, he was injured last season. That's all the context you get. Besides that, his career slash line 263, 330, 435. He has 128 home runs for his career. Last season, the last season he played, he slashed 213, 296, 355 with 16 home runs. 50% chance or greater to do better or do that exact number last season that he played.
I say yes. I say, yeah, he performs better than that. Career 263, 330. Is this Jorge Polanco?
It is.
Is it? Okay.
I just looked at his numbers today. No, I just looked at his numbers today. And I just remember the 16 homers and the 296 on base. I don't care about the batting average. But yeah, you know, you see the career numbers and you kind of see, and you gave us the context too, that he was hurt last year. So that's, you know,
that's not too specific, but okay.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of, not all these guys were Mariners. So
yeah.
So yeah. This one's kind of tough for me to honestly answer, because I pretty darn sure this is Jorge Polanco, and I think he's going to have a better year than he did last year. So I would say yes, but you don't want to count this one because I know who the player is.
Yeah, that's your... I say yes.
Okay.
I'll be shocked if Jorge is worse this year than he was last year. If he finishes with a, you know, with a slash line looking like that, I will be very, very shocked if that's
what like a at. 0.1 win player last year. I mean,
well, they could have brought Polanco. They could have put the patella tendon on backwards, and then he's slower.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
It's a possibility. He's just running backwards everywhere on the field for some reason. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So we got two yays on that one. Player number three. He's a first round draft pick. He's a gold glove winner. Last season had a 2.7 war, 202 batting average, had 5 stolen bases, 37 RBIs, and 79 hits. He has a career war of 18.5, batting average career wise, 245. And has 286 career RBIs. Are they going to do better 2025 or probably decline in 2025?
Fewer home runs, more batting average. 2.7 war in 392 at-bats with a 202 batting average. Like, this guy's really good defensively.
Good defender, yep.
Yeah. So I think he'll, I mean, only 55 homers and 2,800 at bats. That feels like more of a slap hitter. I don't know who this is. But 202 seems pretty low for a 245 career hitter. So I'm going to say, I mean, better. I mean, probably fewer home runs, but yeah, I think he rebounds.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that defense is something that, I don't want to say you don't lose defense when as you get older, but because you do, obviously. But when a guy's really good defensively, I mean, we saw it with Dylan Moore. We saw his, you know, his numbers last year. He wasn't great, but he won a gold glove, obviously, was a, you know, I think he was a 2.5 win player, wasn't he, or something like that? I don't remember. Yeah, but
this could be Dylan Moore, but Dylan Moore's not a first round pick.
Yeah, so, and I don't. He probably.
I mean, the 202 batting average seems. He had way more steals, so it's not.
You're like 202 batting average sounds about right.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I'd say I don't know.
Better.
Yeah, I'll say better.
Yeah,
I don't know who it is.
I think he's going to hit a little bit more than this, but maybe he's like a 38-year-old. Probably know he retired.
That's a good point.
Yeah, these are active players. I'm not going to retire. Okay. Yeah.
I'll say better.
What the hell? If they're retired, I'm going to say, are they going to do better in 2025?
That's what I would do to tie. Like,
beer league fair. Softball.
Yep, Jim Edmonds or somebody like that. What do you think?
We'd probably hit better than him. That'd probably be my guess. Any guess on player? I mean, we could throw it in there. Why not?
I got nothing.
Nothing?
My initial guess was Iglesias. But he hit way higher than 202.
Yeah, he hit 300, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, like 306.
Yeah. I just like part time player, almost 3 wins and like half a season worth of at bats. Like, that's a really good defender.
I almost want to say this is like Javi Baez, but I feel like he has more than 27 bags.
That's a good
in his
one,
career,
though.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he stole more bags than that. And
honestly, probably more than 55 homers. I think he had like a 20 something year. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? But
yeah, Baez is a good guess, I think, but I don't think it's him. Did he even hit 200 last year?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Do you want me to write that one down as your guess?
Sure. I'm not going to come up with anything better. So sure. The first thing that came to mind was like Jeff McNeil. Like, I think he can play any sort of defense. So I don't know where my head was at with this one. So.
All right. Sounds good.
Wait. Is this JP Crawford?
Is that your guess now?
Kind of thinking the 9 home runs sounds about right. Doesn't steal bags. First round pick. Won a gold glove. I feel like he hit that a little better than 202, but I'm going to guess JP Crawford.
Okay.
I like that a lot, actually.
Okay. Player number 4. Rookie of the year. He's been an all-star. Last season, a 1.7 WAR, 120 hits, 20 home runs, had a 219 batting average, had 60 RBIs and 20 stolen bags. His career WAR is 13.1 with 583 hits, 91 home runs. Average is 254, and he has 314 RBIs with 100 stolen bags throughout his career.
Yeah, I know.
Are they going to do better in 2025?
Better, yes. I know who this one is. I wait for Colton to do his thing. But yes, he'll be better.
Nobody is coming to mind right now, but I'm going to say better. Is this potentially Randy Arozarena?
That's who I think it is, too. Yeah, 2020 last year. Low batting average. I think that's about right. Ooh, yeah, he was rookie of the year. Yeah, in 2021. Year after Kyle Lewis won it.
Oh, God. The Evan White.
How could have been.
He just fell off, didn't he?
Yeah, well, that was his knee.
Yeah, it's the same knee. Got him twice in the same knee. And then, like, there was just a lot of stuff about, like, Kyle didn't want to rehab, like, the way that the teams want it. Like, he told the Mariners, no, I'm going to do it my own way. And then they traded him to Arizona. In Arizona, he basically said the same thing, and that's why he hasn't played with anybody for a couple years now. He basically sabotaged himself.
We should have kept Ketel Marte.
I mean, if anyone could have seen that little slap-hitting shortstop turning into what he is today, I mean,
MVP candidate.
Gold star to them. Yeah, gold star to them. I bought a Ketel Marte jersey, and then he got traded.
Hell yeah.
You got Gene Segura for a couple years. You got J.P. Crawford out of Segura. You got Mitch Haniger if Haniger had been healthy. Different looking story, but yeah.
Thank you. I still like the trade. I think it's a good trade. I mean,
yeah. I mean, obviously with hindsight, though, you're like, yeah, probably should have.
All right. Last one, player five. He started with the Astros, had a 752 OPS in 2021. Last year, he had a 2.1 WAR, 95 hits, 8 home runs, batted 225 with 31 RBIs and 10 stolen bases. His career WAR is only 6. He has 34 career home runs, 460 hits. His batting average is 247 career-wise, along with 59 stolen bases. Do you think they're going to do better in 2025?
I do.
Guess. Do you know who it is, Colton?
I wanted to say Abraham Toro.
That was my
first
thought,
too. You're supposed to guess if they're going to do better.
Well, no, I just like the first thing in my head, I'm like, okay, who is this? Because obviously that... Right, you know, their track record, but I don't think Toro had 2 wins last year. I really don't.
I don't know.
A lot. But yeah, that was my first guess too. Is like, is this Abraham Toro?
I think he'll be better next year. Whoever this is.
So let's see, 6 wins, about 1,800 at bats. So that's about 300 at bats per win. 2.1 and only 422. Not a ton of power. Been in the league. I think he'll be. I'm going to say John Singleton will do worse. That's my guess. No, Singleton was on the Astros last year, so that doesn't count. I'll say worse. I'm not sure who this is. And
wait, what do you mean doesn't count? He's on the Astros last year.
Well, you said he started with the Astros,
and then it doesn't matter what team he could still be on that team. I'm just putting up.
Yeah, like, I think Singleton had more homers.
I don't know if he stole 10 bags.
I'm going to say
Colby, worse. You're saying worse? Okay.
Yeah.
So nay. Nay.
I have no idea.
Guess on who? No? Okay.
No. Jake Meyer.
All right. You guys ready?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
So player number one, Colby, you said nay, and you said it was Schwarber. Mm-hmm. And Colton you said nay. Well, Colton said nay, and he said, I don't know. I don't know who it is. It's Pete Alonso.
Ah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, yeah.
So both of you think he's going to do worse. Just going off his stats, just going off of what very little information you had based off his career numbers, what he did last year, he said he's going to do worse than what he performed last season. So maybe that makes you feel better. I was going to say, maybe it makes you feel a little bit better that – you know, we haven't signed him at this point because he's not going to do as well as he did on his career numbers. The idea of this is going to be when you look at the numbers, you don't look at the player and the name. Is Jerry seeing the same thing as what we see if we're just looking at strictly numbers? So that's kind of the idea of the science behind this. Player number two, you both said Polanco. You both said yes, which makes me feel like it's going to be biased because it is Jorge Polanco. And you both said he's going to do better. Now, again, you guys said yes because you thought it was Polanco. You think after his injury, he's going to be better just because of that or recovering from it. You still stand by that?
Yep.
Yeah.
100%? Okay.
Yep. All right. I mean, probably hard to do much worse, although I'm shocked to see that he had a 1.3 B-war
last year.
But
where'd that all come from?
Not the defense. B-war is
typically way lower than F-war, and a lot of people go off F-war. Yep. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. F-war like super favors strikeouts and pitching, and I think it overvalues defense a little bit, but I don't know. I don't know the whole formula, so.
We're going to email them and figure it out. Then you just need to sell it to us. I think it's actually available online. I just haven't looked it up.
Oh, yeah. You just click on it. It'll tell you the formula.
Just click.
It tells you the formula for WRC Plus and WAR, all of it. You can just do it yourself if you want. But
yeah, if you're
I'll trust the fine folks at Fangraphs and Baseball Reference to do that formula.
Let them do it. Yeah, we don't need to do it. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to do math. I'm here to just read the numbers and be like, yeah, now I know more. Okay. Player number three, Colby, you said yay. Colton, you said yay as well. You guys had a guess of Javi Baez or JP Crawford. Well, you got it. JP Crawford. Took you a while.
Yeah.
You guys both think he's going to do a lot better this coming season. You still think so, that it's JP Crawford?
I don't know about a lot, but like.
Well, I mean, you're going to be able to perform or better, the same or better.
Right. Yeah, I think he'll be better than he was last year. I think there are a few factors that went into play last year.
What were those? Because like. What,
they got hurt.
What changed? Well, besides getting hurt.
He got hurt a little bit. And then
just,
I don't know, like,
couldn't hit.
Did he, was he as committed to, like, the driveline thing? Did they try something that didn't work? And by the time he tried to, like, readjust, it was too late. Was it just start, stop, start, stop? I don't know. I don't know what it was with JP, but I think he'll probably be about a 100 WRC plus, which is basically what he's been his entire career. And if he's that, then he's like 14-15% better than he was last year. And that's probably a 3-1 player. He also was much better defensively last year than he had been the last couple of years. I think JP bounces back. I don't think we'll ever see 2023 JP again, but I do think that we'll see like 2022 JP Crawford again, which is that's totally fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'd be shocked if he's not somewhere in the middle of 23 and 24. You know, are we going to see him hit 19 home runs? No, but I think we might see him crack double digits again.
Yeah.
I mean, we know the story with JP. He can control the zone. He takes his walks and, you know, he didn't really do that in 2024 as much. So, I think that there's a decent chance he is better.
A lot of strikeouts.
You plug another other podcasts on here. What's that control the zone crap going on? Oh, is that
the best podcast in baseball, baby?
Never heard of them.
God, jeez.
Shut up, Jeffrey.
Yeah, Jeffrey. God, man.
Why am I Jeffrey now? This is unbelievable.
They're all Jeffrey.
You disrespected everybody. Me.
All right, player number four. You both said yes, and you both guessed Randy Rosarena.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because. I swear to God, you guys are looking up these numbers. You're starting to guess and then looking them up. And you're like, that's right.
No, it's the 2020 that gave it away. Cause I remember that big home run that he hit against the Rangers to get to 2020 where he, you know, basically rope-a-dope the pitcher and then hit a nuke. And then Haim had his panties in a wad and got upset with him. So that's why I remember it's 2020. I guess it's possible there was another guy who went exactly 2020, but the only guy I know of that did was Randy.
Okay. Fair enough. And I wish we had another 2020 version of him. We'll see next season because the 219, I mean, obviously he batted better with Seattle versus when he was, I don't know what was going on with Tampa Bay. Maybe it was the Yandy Diaz issue that they had and he was just out of his mental. I don't know what was going on there because batting 211,
Randy knew he was getting traded. Bad July, like in 2023, like terrible. I think this year it just so happened to happen in March and April, and it just took so long for him to get into gear that it kind of sabotaged his entire season. I hope I hope. I don't know. I watched him play for the Mariners, and there were times I was like, doesn't seem like he wants to be here tonight.
Does he care? Yep.
Yeah.
That was like the first 2 weeks. The first 2 weeks, he just did not seem, I mean, to a point where he's trying to go see his buddies who are in town from Tampa Bay, and he's getting told to get out.
But, you know, it's like, you're a professional, you know, and I'm not trying to belittle his feelings or anything like that. It's tough. You played for that organization. You put down roots there. I get it.
Yeah.
But like, at the same time,
I had nothing against what he did. I think it's stupid people were attacking him for it. It's like, dude, he just wanted to go see, like, it was literally a week after he left. Like, he didn't feel any connection to Seattle yet.
No. And hopefully that changes.
I wasn't. I mean,
Yeah. He knows Julio now, like, Robles and him seem to have very similar personalities. So like, maybe this is the year. And if he's just 2023, Randy Rosarena, you'll take that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take it. That reminds me, I had to write down that note. All right. Number five. I forgot who it was. That's why I made these slides. So you both said, Colby, you said nay. Colton, you said yay, but you have no idea who it is. You both said like Toro at first, Abraham Jake Toro. Myers. And Jake Myers, and then Singleton. You threw a bunch of Astros guys out there.
Yeah, might as well.
Josh Rojas.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
Mm. Oh, that's right. He did for the Astros. That's right.
Yeah, he's drafted by the Astros, but was traded immediately to Arizona.
Was that the Greinke trade?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys were split based on what you saw. Now that he's in Chicago with the White Sox, do you still think? I mean, Colby said no, he's not going to be as good as he was last season. You think he's going to be better there, or do you think he's still going to be bad?
I mean, it really is remarkable as I'm looking at this right now how similar his 2023 numbers and 2024 numbers are, like a point off in like every category. So, not going to have a lot of help in Chicago, but there's also not going to be a lot of incentive or a lot of, you know, pressure for him to hit, and he's trying to get to a better place in July. So,
and it's not,
I mean, I'd like to say better. I like Chicago. I like Rojas, but like just looking at what he did the last couple of years, and it's like that just seems to be who he is. So,
yeah,
he, you know, took another step back, and he's just kind of that consistent minor league free agent after this year. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Yeah. I mean, I like the dude. I think that he's, you know, obviously was great defensively last year. I could definitely see him hitting, you know, better than he did, better than a 91 OPS plus in 2024. Mm-hmm. But I could also just as easily, like Colby said, see him being just a perennial guy that you can always go get on a minor league deal who, you know, is maybe something. He'll provide you good defense, but not much more than that.
I feel like Josh Rojas has like one ridiculously massive postseason hit in him, kind of like Adam Frazier. It's like did nothing for you all year. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow. Okay.
Didn't he just get Travis signed Ishikawa? With
Frazier?
Yeah.
Back to the Pirates.
Pirates?
Yeah, that's the right. Pirates, yeah.
Fucking, wow. Let's go back to your home roots. Go play Pittsburgh. With McCutcheon.
Yeah.
Raise it. I'm just curious about. So, do you think it would be a good morale boost to bring on Robert Jr. to the Mariners since him and Randy are from Cuba?
I mean, if you can make it fit in your payroll, yes.
And depending on what they're asking for prospect-wise, too. I mean, Edwin Arroyo, it sounded like, right, was the rumor from the Reds.
He was in it, and apparently the White Sox are willing to throw in some money in the right deal, too. So, like, it's like, hey, if you guys take on Haniger, right, and you just make Robert neutral for us, you know, payroll-wise this year, I'd give him anybody not – Cole Young or Colt Emerson, like they pick a prospect aside from one of those two guys,
and one or two probably, prospects.
Well, like for me, like if they're going to tell me like we want Michael Arroyo, who's kind of, you know, Arroyo like, they want Michael Arroyo and like Ty Pete, then like yeah, no problem. If they want Michael Arroyo and Laz Montes, I'm like, I'd consider it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, how badly do you want the player? Doesn't sound like he's going to cost that, though. It sounds like, you know, you might be able to get him for, like, one top 100 prospect. Maybe two, maybe like a Harry Ford and a Michael Arroyo, and then maybe some bulk, and then they take Haniger, and maybe it's a neutral deal. So, yeah,
I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I think there's a path. I just don't think it's likely. I think in July it becomes much more likely.
And I'd be fine with that because he's not like a rental for 2 months,
no,
you know?
No, if he's good, you have him on a couple club options. If he's not, goodbye.
Oh, like, well, you have Haniger.
Yeah. So
I bet you better, extend Raleigh if you got rid of Harry Ford.
Yeah. You got Raleigh for another, 3 years?
I think so.
So
yeah.
By the way, you guys are going to be hearing Josh Karen's name a lot in the Mariner minors this year. So
another Karen.
Maybe he's the guy. Right. Mm-hmm. Another Karen.
I like
Josh. Is it Karen or is it Karan? Do you know? C-A-R-O-N.
I hope it's Karen.
Karen.
You're like such a Karen.
Such a Karen. Karen. Yeah.
He just better have temper tantrums. Astros. Such a Karen.
Temper tantrums on the field just over the smallest things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is a topic that came up today. Not Mariner related, but everybody keeps saying he's probably the best umpire to be in the league right now. Pat Hoberg has been fired from the MLB for basically sharing his betting accounts with people who do bet on baseball. And he is involved in these games and stuff. So, I mean, and he also, I believe he deleted a bunch of texts to and from the person he was sharing these accounts with to try to cover it up. So it's like actively
flag.
Yeah. Like, all right, you knew what you were doing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, obviously it was no good, but, makes you wonder, like, maybe there's a possibility that the ones betting on baseball that are doing the wrong things are the best that we can get in the sport. Like, they are intentionally throwing the game, but they're so bad at it that they're actually calling the right calls.
If Hoberg is throwing games, he's the worst, like, point shaver in the history of sports, because, like, nobody had better, more consistent strike zone than he did. Like, he literally called a perfect game in the World Series. Like, if you were ever going to, like, use your power to, you know, shave some points or kind of tip the scales, do it in a World Series game. And he was perfect. So it's like,
if question is who replaced who's going to fill his shoes? Because there's plenty that can fill Angel Hernandez. Plenty.
I mean, I'm pretty sure a blind dog could do that, but
I'll take a shot. They got paid a lot. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Like $300,000.
Yeah, I'll take it. And then I'll do this on the side. And then
probably shut you down there.
Yeah, that's you can't do that. Then you're showing bias, man.
Like, so I really think that, you know, Josh Rojas is gonna get, you know, get it turned around.
I think he's gonna get
that ball's fair. It looked fair to
he's
me.
He's gonna get a lot of walks this season.
Yeah, there you go, right?
Like, he's gonna, I have a feeling Shane Bieber's gonna win the Cy Young. He's gonna break the record for strikeouts.
There he goes.
I'll just leave that part out. Oh,
obviously,
see, this is the reason why I write this stuff down. Oh, this is going to be awkward because this is the tightest sweatshirt I have because I want to look like I'm healthy. Ugh, okay. You made a deal, a bet, Colton, to get a tattoo, but I can't remember what the deal is. So what is it that you're going to do? Or you're gonna get a Mariner tattoo. If what happens?
If we hit $5,000 on that fundraiser, which there's no shot that happens, by the way. But if we're already
at 1,000,
we are at 1,000. Yes. If we somehow magically hit 5,000, I'm gonna get a tattoo. Now, I don't love needles personally. Not a huge fan. Never gotten a tattoo or anything, but I was at Felix's perfect game and I was at the drought ender for Cal. So I'd probably get something related to either of those two moments. You know, whether it just be like, I don't know, like an outline of the player and then like the date underneath or something. I don't know. I haven't thought that far ahead yet. Cause I
buff Kirby or you're not real.
Buff Kirby. Yeah. Buff Kirby. Okay, buddy.
Right. Like on your shoulder, back shoulder. Yeah.
Right on the bicep. So every time you flex,
swells up a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Wow.
That's why I would never put a tattoo on the line. Even when Ty did it a few years ago, that was total BS because he was going to get one either way. But, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like he knew what he wanted and all that.
Join the club.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the compass? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So it's not that bad. Like, I wish people will watch this video that have extra money laying around and just help get them to 5,000 because I want to be there. Oh, I want to watch you go under that needle. And the lining is the worst because it's just a single needle that's just...
Ugh.
Yeah, it rips as you go, you know? We'll leave an ink, and then they'll wipe away the bloody ink and all that stuff. This is getting exciting. I cannot wait for the everybody who watches this video. Even if we get like 6,000 views, which would be awesome, and they made it to an hour in, go donate $1 if there's that many people. Because if we get that many views and you guys all agree to go down the link in the description to donate $1, I can be there with a camera and you can watch him get a massive tattoo. Like,
covers my
entire back.
Yes. Yeah. It's going to be Randy and Julio on the back, and they both have wings, and he can just do this and they'll flap.
Wow.
He'll take off his shirt during the games in the stands and do this.
Nobody wants that.
Everybody wants
Colton, that. Did you leave it up to, you kept discretion, right? You're like, I get to pick the tattoo.
I did. Yes.
Okay, you're not going to leave it up to the Neanderthals on the internet.
Could what if we haven't done that either? What if it's 10,000? What if it's 10,000?
No.
I feel like you have to have like final like say on that.
Well, 10,000, no face.
Like no face tattoo?
Yeah, no face. 10,000, but they get to choose, just can't be on the face.
They'd make me get a tramp stamp of like Sean Figgins or something like that. Like there'd be like
get a Nard dog tattoo like The Office.
Oh God. I'm in.
Yeah. Get something on your lower back that says fuck Stanton.
You have to vlog it because I told Ty he had to vlog his tattoo. And like he's like, yeah, I did it. And I was like, oh cool. So when's that gonna go up? You know, pretty soon. Never went up, and he's like, I think I deleted the videos. Like,
oh,
what are you doing, man?
He jerried you.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, he jerried you. That's
Ty's pretty messed up. Dude.
He should come on to this podcast to defend himself, but you know, he doesn't want to respond when I reach out to him. So whatever. But hey,
I think Ty doesn't have his like DMs
his
open,
password
so
to
he
his account.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. No, he
doesn't. Oh no, I can't DM him, but I like post with his tag. It's like, I know you see it. You've been mentioned. I know you see it.
I don't know if you've seen it or not, but
before we're done, good. Before we get out of here,
yeah.
I'm excited about this guy. And I want you to tell me that it's not. What did I miss?
Colby just said, oh good. About Neptali Feliz really sent me.
Well, it's because I happen to know this little fun little tidbit here. Feliz hasn't pitched in the big leagues for so long that he will be on the Hall of Fame ballot next year. That's how long it's been since he's pitched in organized ball.
Wait, I thought his last year was in 21.
5 years.
Wow. That's all you need?
Five? Yeah, I believe it's five. Yeah, it's just five.
That's it.
Ichiro was 2019.
Mm-hmm. Might be 2027 is when he's eligible, but yeah, Tally Police hasn't pitched in so long that he's going to be on a pretty current Hall of Fame ballot.
How epic would it be if he came back and they're like, "You're a closer now."
Well, if he earns the job, fine. But like, let's not give it to him. 37-year-old
Neftali Feliz.
Yeah. Where's he been? Where's he been?
Like, I don't know.
Dominican League,
maybe.
Is there any?
I don't know. I feel like he just kind of ghosted everybody. Like even Fernando Rodney was pitching down in the Mexican League for the last few years.
Yeah, dude's like literally 60, and he's still striking guys out in the
shooting
summer
arrows.
Logan
nice
Morrison's watching
there.
Him go.
Yeah. I'm excited for him. I don't know if he's gonna have a big comeback or anything like that. I really don't. But I feel like. If he's being brought back, this organization is like, we know what you have the capability of, and we know that we can bring you back to somewhat level you were back then. I have confidence in that, especially pitching development. Yep. Granted, he could just be like Kyle Lewis and just be like, nah, I'm on my own program. I'm going to figure it out because it's been great for the last 4 years for me. So,
yeah.
So I'm excited for him. He's literally the only relief pitcher they've signed that or acquired in any sort of fashion that I'm actually like, okay, I'm rooting for this guy. The rest of them, like, I don't care. I really don't care.
But Drew Pomeranz is probably in that category too. Then
that's right.
Pomeranz was really good in 2021.
He was really like incredible in 21.
I think he finished the year as Major League Baseball's number two relief pitcher, according to the Shredder, which, by the way, said Cal Raleigh was the fourth best catcher. So, like, what does it know? But yeah, it's just a lot of you know, there's always a guy on the pile, and I feel like every year, every Mariner fan takes their individual one and is like, that's the guy. Like for me last year, it was Colin Snyder. Mm. Nailed it.
Boom. Oh, wow.
Yes. We will not discuss the previous years.
No, it's great.
I mean, who was here last year? Like Heath Embry was a guy. People were like, yeah. Heath Embry is going to make a comeback.
There's a guy who pitched for the Orioles. He was pretty good. Can't remember his name. There was a few guys last year that
Bowman,
certainly had.
Bowman? I was actually excited.
No,
about
not
that.
Bowman. No. Different guy.
He didn't last though.
No, he didn't. He got traded. He pitched for four different teams last year.
Isn't he back with the Orioles now?
I don't know. Marlins maybe.
He got picked back up. Oh yeah,
maybe. Joey Crable. Joey Crable was the name of the other guy. So yeah, there's always guys where it's like, this is the guy who's gonna pop, and you're like, well, okay.
All right then.
We'll see who's right.
Well, yeah. And this is our latest edition. And who do we DFA'd somebody for him?
Jonathan Diaz,
who it just seemed like he kind of hit like a plateau. He just did not, he wasn't progressing. He wasn't getting any better. Two starts he did or two appearances he had in the MLB was just not good. So we drop him, but I still think he's better than this guy. Am I wrong? Cause his career numbers are terrible, and then his numbers last year, six games with an 8.68 ERA. What am I missing?
Yeah, I mean, he's a fastball, changeup, slider guy. I mean, throws average,
basically
90
sidearm.
Yeah, sidearm, like maybe the funky delivery they're interested in. Mm-hmm. But
it's a whippy sidearm, just above true sidearm. Yeah, it's 93, like you said.
Paul Sewald, anyone?
No, but JT Chargois, anyone? Like, maybe. I don't know. I'm a little bit today because just in case Ty was gonna try and ask me on the show. So I did watch some of him today. I did look at some of the stats, and it's just like, it's a pile arm, throw sidearm. You know, it's a true sidearm. Really, like, ton of ground balls, so he's gonna get a lot of ground balls. Not gonna miss a ton of bats. It's sinker slider. So I think it's just like, hey, if Taylor is going to miss the first month or whatever, then like, hey, he's the eighth guy in the bullpen. He's the mop up duty guy, whatever, throw him out there. You're just taking a stab on a guy and I think they're hoping the funky delivery might help him out. I think he's just a middle guy who's going to get some ground balls.
And I guess that could make sense with the batter's eye being crooked. For the second time, it's been confirmed by Teo. Teo said it, so it's true.
Yeah. Remember when they said they were going to fix that?
Don't do that. No. Don't fix
it. They had the Winter Festival instead.
I think that this is a guy where if he doesn't end up being on the team, like, who cares? You didn't. You're out, some cash and Jonathan Diaz.
How much cash?
That, who knows? It could have been a dollar for all we know. Who was it?
Tony Zick
for a dollar.
And David McKay. Yeah. They were both acquired for a dollar.
Okay.
Those guys actually pitched some innings. Mariners.
Yeah. David McKay, he was he also from the Marlins?
I think so. You might be thinking of David Phelps.
Oh, I think that is who I'm thinking of.
I'm thinking of Michael Phelps right now. Yeah.
I mean,
just a winner
for you, man.
We need a winner. Congrats. I'm just saying.
Would he have a chance though against King Salmon? That's my question. Humphrey for life. That's who you should get your tattoo. Humphrey.
Yes.
If I have to live you the should. Rest of my life with a humpy tattoo,
I... You know what's better? On your lower back. Humpy on your lower back.
I think thanks, guys. That might be the worst idea I've ever heard. I appreciate it.
Well, it's going on Twitter, so get ready for the retweets.
Yeah. You don't have a say in this. Remember, 10,000, everyone. If 10,000 views hit this,
get humpy.
And you all donate $1, he's getting humpy on his lower back tattooed.
I don't remember agreeing to this.
Like how we're writing checks for you.
Thanks, guys.
Getting on Venmo, like we're just sending it off. A couple tweets and it could probably happen. I'm just saying. You'd be happy.
We did a fundraiser a few years ago, and in the last day we got somebody to donate $5,000 and somebody to donate $3,000, so it's possible.
I'm sorry.
Well, it wasn't for us. Backing.
I know it wasn't for you. It was that the
Feeding America.
Right.
We raised $15,000 and like 8 of it came on the last day. So I think one of them might have been the Mariners. Like, they didn't say who it was. But who else would donate $5,000? So,
all right, yeah. 15,000, and I get to come with you to spring training, and I'll get a tattoo with you.
Oh God,
we'll get matching.
Now you're just trying to hook on your spring training vacation.
Yeah, I'm trying to get some money. I'm trying to get a free trip out of it. I'm planning on going down anyways, but it'd be nice. That's a lot.
I can't wait for Colton to like get out of the Uber and start walking towards the stadium, and you're standing there like, "What's up, buddy? I came to see you."
It'll be so awkward.
I got this humpy stencil.
Little does he know I'm 4'2". You know, he's gonna be like, "Wow, you're a child size." We're like, "That's how I get in for free."
You know, there you go.
I'm not really 4'2". That would be really bad. But I mean, maybe I am. All right, we're bullshitting now. I'm okay with it though. I appreciate you guys coming on. Thank you for joining me for the first Mariners Monday. We covered a lot. You guys were about 60% right on the players, and we'll see how that turns out at the end of the season. Now at least we have it on record whether or not these guys are going to be better or worse.
Oh no.
You know, we'll circle back to it and talk shit later, along with other people. We'll see who else comes in on these future broadcasts. And thank you guys all for joining us. If you guys haven't already, go down to the links down in the description. Go check out Locked On Mariners. As depressing as this offseason has, they know their shit, obviously. Obviously. Colby's here while he's sick. And he'll tell you how much he knows his shit. Colton, he needs money. So you need to go to his channel, subscribe, and then do like a bunch of...
for Colton.
Yeah. You need to go there and donate.
I'm in Mariners content creation for the money, guys.
That is exactly over everything. It pays so well. Yeah, he's paid by John Stanton, which means he gets like $13 a week. Yeah, so go check out their channels if you haven't already. If you know this channel, you probably know theirs. And if you're here for Mariner stuff, you already know who they are. But go support them. Definitely go donate so that Colt and Joe or Jeff or Johnny or Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt can go to Peoria and spend the time there and get the coverage. And then I will go get a tattoo with him at 15K. So I would much appreciate it. Thank you guys for joining me on this. And we'll see you guys next Monday. Yep.